must be in your heart all the time, having that. I mean, I only met him twice, just for 5 minutes, and he changed the way I felt about the game and about him.
Mark, of course, which I guess you could call it Marco Marco, right? if you could, you know, see, you know, full authority to the late, great King. Mark would know this as well as me.
Absolutely. And for 5 minutes, I felt like I was the most important person in his world. And that's
it.
Just real. For real. Now we're going to get to Jordan Spieth because, you know, I mean, here's the golden child. Right? The golden child. What happened to the golden child? And you wrote an article that Jordan knows what's wrong and Jordan knows what to do about it. Enlighten us. What's wrong?
Well, he wouldn't get into all the details of what's wrong, and he wouldn't get into all of the details of how he wants to fix it. In fact, yesterday when he got that 66, which almost got him to make the cut, he said he had four golf swings going, which he's never, you know, and even he said, I either have one or maybe, you know, one and a half two that I'm dealing with. So he's in the midst of things. He's been trying to, you know, fine-tune some things that I think he needed to do in his game. And I think at the expense of that is his ability to score. Certainly, we've all talked about his putting. You know, everybody's mentioning on down to the field. Yes, there's that. Look, everybody has their highs and lows. He's been a low. I think he's going to get out of it. When he does, he's going to be fine.
That's it. It seems so simple. He's in a low and he's going to get out of it.
And he's off such a technical game and he can think technically too much. And I think that's part of it. And, he even admitted yesterday that it was the technical part of his mind had gotten in the way of his feel and so forth. And that cost him a few strokes on the back nine yesterday. And then once he started, he forget the technical part and just say, see the line, feel the speed, make the putt. And we saw him make a few putts. And we saw him kind of figure it out before the, you know, the 29th hole of the tournament. So, you know, he's going to be fine. He's got so much talent, it comes out of it, even, you know, when you get to see something.
Mark, you were saying the same thing about him being too technical and he needs to get back to playing.
Well, Mark, we know. Mark's a fine player, is all right.
But what Dave's point is a great one, because what I said is Jordan's not playing golf. He's trying to go out and do the series of golf stats, which is not playing golf. But to Dave's point, if he didn't figure that out for the 29th hole, thinking about that when he leaves the range, put that putting device away, you know, 15 minutes before you tee off or whatever it is, and go play golf. At about the 29th hole, he realized he wasn't playing golf. He was trying to do something.
Okay. There's the thing box and the play box.
I think we would agree that, yeah, once he does that, we'll see a lot of
golf.
Yeah.
And
it'll just come before. We have some interesting young players who were at the top of the leaderboard after the first day, shooting a 61 and a 62. I don't have my notes in front of me. I can't see a thing, so you're going to have to help me with this. Adam Putnam, I think, shot the 62. Are they both Adams?
That's Andrew and Adam.
Oh, thank you.
They're right at the top of that alphabet.
Andrew is the one who suffered the bee sting,
and
came back right from bee sting. What is it about being injured or having something wrong with you or being sick that brings you the best of your golf sometimes?
I don't know. My head's injured all the time. I never played the golf, but I'd like to figure out what that is. Now, I think in Andrew's case, the bee sting was on the second toe of his right foot. Not necessarily a place where it was during the second game a lot, but I think maybe just the fact that he had a few days to rest after Papalua. And, I would say that Mark would definitely know more about this than me, but I would say that when you are injured or sick or whatever, you tend to just kind of go with it. You don't really ruminate on your golf and again the technical aspects and all those things. You just try and play golf because you feel like you're trying to play around something. And because of that, I think you just start playing them.
When you're not feeling well, and I'm the oversimplifier of all time, but I believe simplifying is almost always good when you're playing golf. And look at Kevin Play last week. Kevin Play was feeling horrible. He was dizzy, had the vertigo thing and everything else. He totally simplified it. He just saw things at the plantation he could barely get around, played great. The better he started feeling, and the more he started analyzing what was there in front of him, the tougher it got, and the worse it scored. I think simplifying happens when you're not feeling well, and that's good.
What we're talking about that's wrong with Steve is almost exactly what we're talking
correct
about.
He just tried to hit shots. Kevin Play, that's what he said in that first time. He just tried to hit shots. And, that's a pretty good way of going about it. Just trying to hit the shots.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good lesson for anybody listening who plays golf and just goes out there. Don't think too much.
Look at Rory. When Rory's putting changed that last year at the Apollo Invitational, he went and saw Brad Paxton just before that, and what Paul Paxton told him really was to simplify. Rory had gone from being a real natural putter, not hardly even lining, but to see him go in before he hit him, and then putting him in. And he had gotten to the left hand low, and he put all this technical stuff to the putting, and Paxton basically said, go back to simplifying. Rory put the right hand low, which is natural for him on the club, and then, boom, he starts making everything without really doing anything other than just sort of simplifying.
Yeah, and that makes it so much easier.
Yeah, well, our brain gets in the way when we combine, and it's just, my friend, you overthink, you overanalyze, you overtechnical, you get overtechnical on things.
It's not writing. I mean, when you write, you just sit down and you start letting the words come out. You put it together.
Actually, I just, I listen to the voice in my head, and he does the writing, and I just sort of listen to that.
And Greg Gardens is good.
Yeah. We have several personalities, and there's a writing one in there, and there's a people one. I think the people one's probably a couple already.
Yeah, it's Chaz Rahe. He had three hole-outs from all of
us. Great story.
Right? I mean, talk to us about this. It was unbelievable.
Well, yeah, par four. I mean, making an eagle on a par four in any given round is unbelievable, let alone three. He's that kind of player, though. Chaz has always been a he's starting to get back in a little bit of a groove. It looks to me like he's had a down time there for a while. This thing, I was with Reavy in Boston a few years ago. Had a chance to win FedEx Cup playoff event, 18th hole. He had a one-shot lead. And he hit a really good drive, and there's a gulch in front of his par 5, and he only had about 20 to cover the gulch. Almost every other player in the field would have gone to the green. He decided to lay up. He ended up making six. And I think what happened to him is he realized that you don't try to make the lowest score on every hole you play on the PGA Tour these days. You're going to get beat. And I'm starting to see him kind of
get in that groove.
He's getting in that aggressive groove again, and that's the way he plays his best.
Yeah, he plays that. He started playing better early last year, and then, like you said, the streakiness sort of took over. But we were talking yesterday just briefly about the likelihood of pulling out a wedge shot, throughout the course of the year. And of course, we're talking about a full range type of wedge shot. The Jordan Spieth chicken 13 times a year kind of magic in the key. But we're saying, well, that might hang out for a really good wedge player. Jordan Spieth, Steven Stricker, Jack Johnson, might happen 2, 3, 4 times in a year. So, first they do stuff for a full year and
it's phenomenal.
It's never since 1983 when the PGA Tour started keeping track of scorecards. They can't find anybody who's ever done that.
Yeah. It's the first, and we had it here at the Sony Open in Hawaii at the Wailea Country Club.
Yeah, we don't know if Hogan or Jack or somebody did it.
It is true. One never knows. Okay, so we've got Andrew Putnam, Adam Svensson, Cameron Champ, and Cameron Smith. Those are four young guys. Who do you think is going to be coming out on the top? Is it obviously Cameron Champ because of his game? And I did manage to look at me nodding. Is it because the bomber, that's all that matters we were talking about?
No, it's not just the bomber part of it. That kid is talented and he knows how to play the game. And that's what separates really good players from the nice players. But certainly having that kind of an arsenal where you can really pound one and take advantage of that strength in your game, whatever that strength is, if you can take advantage of it, that's huge. And length, obviously, is a great advantage. There's no question about it. Most of the best players in the world can hit a par. But, you know, of course, and that's the thing. And I think Cameron Champ understands the game.
And so, this year, this is his first real year. He's going to be finding out about all these golf courses that all the other guys have been playing out here for 2 years.
Well, he'll find out about parts of the golf course and say he's flying over most of the parts of the golf course.
Okay. Learning how to play the course. Is the first year a testy one? I mean, you're testing yourself out.
Yeah, but it's not like it used to be. I mean, and that's why we're seeing players come out of college. You know, first of all, the college experience these days is like being on the tour. The other thing is, I'll tell you what's changed a lot of things is Golf Channel. These guys and kids watch the Golf Channel incessantly, so they're seeing all these courses. And they're listening to other players talk about how to play them, and they know what Hilton Head is like, even though they've never been there. They, you know, they know what Bethpage is going to be like when they get there for the PGA. They're like seasoned veterans when they come out on the tour.
Or Kapalua. Kapalua is one of the, you know, the most televised, most watched, certainly most, one of the most recognizable golf courses in the world. And by the way, we all should thank Mark for what he's done to bring the tournament standards.
It's major that we get to go there. Let's talk about a major. Let's talk about Bubba Watson, who did not make the cut. Let's talk about the article you wrote.
Oh, Bubba and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I never got to follow up with them to see if they actually made that jump. But I was feeling they did. It might have been yesterday after the cut. So, I don't know. What would you like to know?
I had no idea that when Bubba is playing a practice round and when Bubba is playing a tournament, being around all those people is a problem for him. It affects his game.
It does. It's a concentration factor. It's when you're out, it's like the dog is, you know, kind of bubbling along and all of a sudden, squirrel, you know, it's over here. And, you know, I thought the great line in that story was Ted saying, you know, we'll be walking along, and all of a sudden, Bubba sees somebody eating a bag of chips, and are those Doritos or Cheetos? And he says, off the planet, you know, and just, and then Ted's job is to bring him back without actually saying, hey, Bubba, concentrate. No, he does it very subtly, and you know, that's one of his really what he feels like his few tasks, because Bubba's got such better natural talent than getting shots. But again, going back to getting shots and supposed to technical things, that just trying to get him in that position mentally to do it.
Teddy, can he play a unique role then? Yes. Bubba's dad was a tough guy. He's a really tough guy.
Sure.
And if you think about his dad basically taught him, brought him up to be afraid of everybody, to be worried, to think that something bad was going to happen. And a little bit of a military sort of viewpoint in a lot of ways. You think about the shot that Bubba hit at Augusta when he curved the wedge around to win that. As he's running back out to the fairway to see it, you know, or grab him or something when he went out. That's kind of the way Bubba is when he's jumping. So Teddy's job, as David said, is always to kind of bring him back to now and focus on what the task at hand is ahead of him.
Do you think that he's won the Masters twice because there's something more? This is weird. And when I was at Augusta, inside, there's something more home. It's more You're isolated. Even though there's people all around you, there's this sense of people are under control.
Well, I think that's a pretty good point. Yeah. I would agree with that, and also the fact that because the gesture requires certain thought shapes and so imagination, feel, those are kind of probably valid, as opposed to some other guys, Jason Day, who is up to cross from point A to point B and very much trying to be in control of this swing and not seeing the shot necessarily that you can get from a creative standpoint.
The thing is, Augusta is the only golf course in the world that truly favors a left-handed player.
Mm.
I've seen Mickelson, Steve Watson, because he's got all these right to left holes for a righty, which is a hook.
Mm.
It's much harder to control a hook than it is a fade. So can't hardly say that about any other course, but a poor fade there. That's why I thought Bubba would match up pretty well out here, because he's got some four dogleg left in the last five holes where he's hitting the face. Just turned out that way. That's more because of his putting, and he just had this LASIK surgery, and he can't quite figure out what's going on with his eyes, I think. But, fade out here on the last holes is pretty important, but it does that really favors the left.
If you've been compensating walking or compensating for whatever it is that's been going on with your eyes, and then all of a sudden they're fixed, now you've got to get used to them being right.
He didn't wear glasses or contacts.
I understand.
So what in the world? Either he couldn't see before, and now he can, or I don't know. I think he's kind of like a USB in a flag stick out there.
We're not sure. You're laughing very
hard.
Dave Zablowski, golfdigest.com. It's so nice talking to you, in person.
Oh, it's lovely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for being here. It's a great time.
Thanks for putting me next to this guy. Yeah, always love
him. Yeah, we'll have to do this again. You make a great team. We're going to come back. This is the Golf Club. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club. And I are sitting here at the Wildlife Country Club, as we have been all morning long, and our phones are going off, and David Havens was here, too, and our phones, and I pick up my phone, I go, missile alert, and we're like, what? Is it real? It says it's real. This is not a test. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. And what does Mark do? Mark looks up at me and says, can I go now? All right, we're joined now by the Vice President of the Aloha Section CPN, who is right here, and the Secretary of the Aloha Section CPN, and this would be David Hayden.
Thank you very much.
Kevin Carl.
Good morning.
Good morning. So glad to have you here. And it's a real pleasure. Your golf course is looking amazing.
Yeah, you know, Dave Nakama, our golf course superintendent, has done a wonderful job.
And now people are going to say, and I'm just going to bring it up, people watch TV and they see all this stuff going on. They're going to say, how come the greens look a little bit brown?
Yeah, well, the tour likes a firm surface. We could put water on it, but they don't want to put water on it. So we haven't watered the course since Sunday.
Good thing it didn't rain.
Yeah, well, a little rain would have helped visually.
No, I know, but I mean, from the tourist point of view, they didn't want rain. They just wanted to be firm and fast.
Yeah.
Yes, firm and fast. But it is rolling really true. I think they're, what is it called when they're cutting it? They're cutting it?
Very well, you heard a cut prior to the tournament, not during the tournament.
And during the tournament, you cut during the tournament?
They do cut, but they roll as well.
So it makes it even faster. We have to all the simulator, what are these guys playing?
Between 11 and 11.
So fast. Yeah, it'd be like USDA goes to 12 or something, they go crazy fast.
Even more.
Right, which is, I think, you know, nothing about the USDA, but I think the test is just a little bit. You'll play there again.
I will play the qualifier.
Yes.
I haven't made it to the big event.
Okay,
yet,
but
so we're working on it.
Are you still going for it? Yes, we'll
try to play.
I love that about you.
Absolutely.
You're constantly striving to, you know, get there. I read a couple of Jared Sawada. You played and missed the cut by three. It was three over, maybe you missed the cut by four because it was one under. It was a cut line one under. It was two under. That's why George Keith didn't make the cut. He was one under. So, Jared had an amazing moment when he was way out in the lead. It was a Hawakalei, and he was going for the Monday qualifier, and he was up by eight strokes, and it was Jared. But then all of a sudden, there's one of those moments when he's like a double bogey strike, and, you know, it just tells you, you've always got to be ready. You can't ever take it for granted that you're going to just be able to cruise in because something great is always going to happen. Anything happened during the semi opening? I was saying, So it's just interesting to be in such a multicultural arena where all of these people are coming together for one reason. That was just a super fabulous Dolphins game. When you guys are prepping for the event, do you get, I mean, when things start? I mean, the prep must be the biggest part for you.
Yes, it starts really earlier in the year, obviously. Early in the year, maybe April or May, with the meetings, with the volunteers. Volunteers is the biggest, challenge, right? You've got over 1,500 people that are doing 1,500 different jobs.
And coordinating everything.
Absolutely.
What do you
think
about helping you on the golf?
Well, golf on our side is primarily dealing with the practice rounds, with the pro-am, with the caddies, with the simple things like tees on the first tee, and all those little things, the golf cart.
Is I talk about him because the kid didn't have any of the things that we, a lot of these kids on the tour had. They had backing, they had clubs, they had all the things that Lucy Lee is a perfect example. I mean, she grew up in a very wealthy family. She had clothes for every occasion. She had golf clubs, she had travel, she had lessons, she had everything. She had people taking her tutors. Then you can excel because your life is tough. Your life is stage actress or stage actor that has a tutor in the background and your parents are taking care of everything. So Cameron Kemp doesn't come from that background. He comes from a regular background where the parents are like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get him over to that whatever tournament it is. And people just heard about it. Under Mayhem heard about it. Gave him an exemption into a senior event and then it just kind of went from there for him. And so I totally understand your mission. When we're working, level station the golfers are working with kids. They come and they say, do we have to have clubs? Do we have clubs? And I say, well, we'll find some. We'll put something together.
Well, you take a kid like Cameron Sam, who is incredible in a million ways. He's the kind of guy that can't teach hard. And he had hard. And that's the difference with these kids. If they want it, don't chase after it. You know what? Luckily for me, I was in the same boat. We weren't rich growing up. But I was given an opportunity, and I was pressed for that opportunity. I practiced, played, so when I got a chance to go to college, I got on the golf team. But I got a chance to go and play for a living for a little while. I was pressed to go and do it successfully.
Yeah.
And so, because I wanted it. And it wasn't because I was saving the money and super rich.
Right.
But it was something that I really wanted him and Sam. And he's now an example for my kids on Maui that I teach and people around because our kids just carried a standard for him last year or last week.
Cool.
And they just, it was incredible to see their faces and to hear them talk about him. So I'm thankful that he's done what he's done.
And that is, yeah, that is, the time has got him this far and people have got him this far. That's really exciting. I mean, I think there's a lot of reason now. Right now, don't you have 10-minute lessons?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we're in Spectator Village, and we're going to 3-10-minute lessons, and also, like David mentioned, with his nonprofit, Spirit for Change, we're building clubs.
Building clubs, so you can go over, get clubs from David, and then get a lesson from, oh, I don't know, maybe Ben Hongo is here. He was here last year.
Sure.
I think Claude Giselle is here in the afternoon.
Eddie Lee is here.
So there's a lot of... I have a great picture of Ben Hongo. I posted on Facebook. He's teaching this little thing. He's like tabletop tall, you know? And he's on his knees trying to help her get the hand around the club that you just made. Yeah.
Some of the clubs are just a grip and a club hand.
Yes.
Well, the kid is so small they can barely stand up. And I had one club I made for a kid not too long ago, and I got it from a golf store, and the golf store said, why do you want this club? It has a rattle in it. It shakes and rattles if the driver was broken. I said, I got a use for it. So I made it into a baby rattle, a golf club baby rattle. It was an awesome little club. So everything gets reused, Daniel. Everything. So,
bravo. I have a split shaft. Somebody asked me, do you think we could just, like, re-shaft this driver? And I'm thinking, I don't know if we can reshaft this car because no one does it on a Wahoo. You know, there's people who reshaft it for $30 or $40.
Yeah.
You know, or but that doesn't include the price of the shaft. But there's no one like David here. Have you thought of, like, trying to get around the island? Like,
what?
A shaft change on a Wahoo and a shaft change on Kauai?
No. As far as club repair, that's probably not what I'm going to be doing. But there's places on Oahu to where I want to see if they'll give me a 4x4 space for pallet. And because I had 30 or 40 people yesterday said, I have a garage full of clubs, and I don't know if I can get them to Maui for you, but you have a place here. So I can have little satellite locations of Spirit for Change here, and then we can have some of our Aloha Section PGA members and apprentices do my work at Hawaii Kai or Onawai or anywhere. You're on the island where there's a depot for those clubs because I've only come over here for this and for the ESPN Sports Festival.
And this is last
It was in and out.
Well, I could have been there while you were there. You know, I've never been in touch. You are so busy. I'm talking right now with Kevin Paul. He is the head professional at Wildlife Country Club. Do you teach outside? Do outside people, can they come and talk?
We do. It's a very small now, but we do outside lessons as well. And really, obviously, members are our priority, and that's what we take care of first, but we do the lessons outside lessons.
Cool. So they just go to the pro shop?
Yeah, give a call.
Yeah, and if you want something cool that says Wildlife Country Club on it, you can come here and go into the pro shop and buy it.
You can, yes. It's a free day for an exclusive private club, but yes, you can walk in the door and
It is unique, and that's very cool. Now, of course, there's all the Sony stuff that is really nice to have. So you should come down to the Sony opening, Hawaii Wildlife Country Club. Really easy parking up on Hunakai, a big field, and they'll bring you on over. So just leave the key. It's being taken care of. The car's fine. It's got a lot of company. And then you get to come over here and just enjoy. Bring sunscreen, because I noticed when I was out, there's a little the sun, it's there, and it really, oh my God,
yeah, it doesn't feel like January weather.
It doesn't, does it? So do you notice, do your agronomist notice anything about the change in the weather and what it might be doing?
Well, for us, this year has been a very wet year. I should say this year, 2018 was a very wet year. It was about double the amount of rain we had the previous year.
Wow.
So I think of anything, that was probably the most significant thing.
And then in some places on the Big Island, they're not getting anything, and they've got a drought. It's Hawaii. You just never know. So is there a message that you wanted to deliver to the folks when you thought of being on the show? What did you want to say?
Well, just come out. It's my signal. The weather's going to be great. We've got some great names on the leaderboard.
Just go up to those names on the leaderboard.
Yeah, for those that are even thinking about golf, I mean, what better way to get into the game where you get fitted for a club and you get a lesson.
I know.
You walk away with a golf club.
You walk away with a golf club. You don't have to bring your own club. What if you brought your own club? You have a club and you don't know, does this fit me right? Can I bring that?
Well, and that's something we're going to talk to Jay Turner about a little bit later. And he says, since everybody that comes down for their lesson will get a free fit, we do a fitting right there, and when you go and do your free lesson with the Aloha PGA member, you're going to have a club that fits you perfectly.
Yeah,
it's not some, maybe this will work, it fits you to where you can be in the right posture, set up, and position.
If you ever was, my grandson, I will tell you, was here last year. He was short, probably 5'10". And he's still trying to use the one you made with the two legs today for him.
He can fix that. He can bring that back to me today, and I'll make something longer.
Okay, we need to take a break. Kevin Collins, you need to leave. I don't know if you're
going
to. You're good. All right, we're going to come back and bring in Jay Turner and, of course, David Haven and Kevin Collins right after this. My name is Jeff Alcantara. This is the Golf Club. You're coming to me. founder of Redbird Sports, Jeff Mont LTD. And you can find him at jeffmont.com. That's J-E-F-F-M-O-N-T, in case I'm not enunciating that correctly. All right, I just want to say that I was watching Jose de Jesus Rodriguez to see how he was doing. He's got a 66 and a 70, and he's made the cut, and he's teeing off at 10:50 with Harris English and Matt Jones. Hideki Matsuyama didn't have a really great day, but it was good enough, 69, 67. He just had some trouble. I don't know what it was. He was on again, off again. Kevin Carl, did you notice that?
No, unfortunately, I didn't get to blame him, but he always goes a big crowd, by far.
By far. Because as I was saying earlier, there's this, on one side of me, they didn't understand anything I was saying. On the other side of me, they had no idea what I was saying. When I was asking them a question, it was just like cancer. Just melt. But there were spectators everywhere, and they were following the groups. They're very dedicated. It was great to see. Our leaders are going to go off at 1 o'clock, if you'd like to watch. Now, this is interesting. Matt Kuchar, Andrew Putnam, and Chez Revy. Chez had the 3 tip-ins from over 100 feet in, which they didn't see that has ever been done on the PGA Tour since Dustin Brooks in 1983. Andrew Putnam, he had a fabulous first round, a 62, and Matt Kuchar, 63-63, is the old guy who is in the lead, and I always get a kick out of that. And Stuart Spink is there, too, and Ted Potter and Mark Leishman. And does anybody want to hazard a guess? Who do you think it's going to be? Yes. Okay.
For me, I think Georgia Tech's pretty well represented this week with Stuart Spink and Matt Kuchar. I'm a Matt Kuchar fan. I'd like to see him pull it off. It'd be nice to see him win, because I know that he's a fan favorite over at Century.
Okay.
Tournament champion of Kapalua.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. I got to go with Lee. Obviously played really well in a lot of majors. Grew up on the new grass. So.
To me, I never am able to say on a Sony Open in Hawaii tournament who is going to win and see that person actually win. Because it's always somebody that should, you know, it's like, well, yeah, they're great golfers because they're here. They're one of, you know, 144 of the best golfers in the world. So you see that, but then it's like, oh, gosh, I didn't see him coming before. And that's what's exciting about this tournament. You just never know. Jay Turner, tell us about your, David Higgins gave us a little bit of a background. You are a club fitter, and you also make golf clubs, custom clubs. So these golf clubs, and you have a lifetime guarantee?
Yeah. We started in 1985, and we always, from day one, we built them. And so fast forward to now, we have a patented fitting system that's based on body measurement, which is unique in the industry. And I don't want to purchase one. Instead, at least the dimensional part, the length and line on this side. Because our algorithm determines that. And the reason for that is, I believe, people can do it. So my job is, what they're told by their instructor, like David, who can't have the teacher, and make that work. Most of the companies out there fit the plan, and most of the current planes between the ropes today have flaws. When you fit to a flawed plane, the flaws have to be present to fit the function. So it's a really kind of backwards thing. The other thing that's out there is, with big manufacturers, it's a one-size-fits-all mentality, and that buy a set of clubs and it's your job to get the tailor. We start from the ground up. We don't build anything so we know who you are. Although we have a retrofit in business for people that have existing clubs as well as some work with that to be able to determine how they need to alter to make them function at their highest level.
You've told us a whole lot in a very short period of time. For those people who can't afford to go out and get a brand new set of clubs, the retrofitting is perfect. The idea that, you know, I think that I'm not good enough to get my clubs fit. I'm just starting. I really don't need to put on a pair of 14 pants. I can put on a pair of 14 pants, even though I'm a size 10, which is the only way that I've ever been able to really explain to people the problem with going out and buying something off the rack. It doesn't say on the label, this is a size set club. This is a 5'7" club. This is a 6'2" club.
That's a good analogy. I'm going to steal it. I mean, they use two. I get a little more variety in my set. But no, it's very important. And where we're unique is that's the chicken and the egg scenario. Well, I got to get my swing better before I get club this set. I just said people that never have played. So how do you fix someone? How do you get a person that's just starting a game if they're sitting at 20 and never played? They don't have a swing. Versus you look at dimensions. How you put together, we can sort all that out. That's it. And you know, our NBA players, Michael Jordan included many years ago, to people that are, I don't know what the correct term is, but small people.
Small people.
More.
Is that, well. Oh, my girlfriend. Yeah, my girlfriend. There's a little bit.
We have a section on our website of a gentleman named Dan Kruskas, who's a dwarf.
Yes.
And then I've got a guy who isn't NBA.
You fit it as man 7'3".
Seven iron is long for most people.
My God, where did you get a golf bag?
That's
a problem.
I had to have one made.
I bet. Your car's got to be specially made to hold it in the truck. You know, you've got to have like one of those long. But when I was looking, when you get fit, this is Jay Turner. He's CEO, president, and founder of Redbird Sports, Jeffmont Ltd. It's just Jeffmont.com. He fits by weight, whether you're right or left-handed, gender, age, and height. You said all those things. I didn't know that gender made a difference. Just a second, okay? The distance from the floor to the tip of the middle finger, wrist to the tip of the middle finger, length of the middle finger, leg length, your inseam, and your waist size. So I was thinking, okay, all of these sort of make sense, right? But weight?
The algorithm doesn't. So what we're really concerned with from that is how wide the shoulders are, because we're measuring arm length. And everything is a triangle, basically, in our system. When you put your arms together, they go out a certain distance. The wider your shoulders are, the shorter they go out. For very narrow people, they go out further.
Wow.
Like that. Just, you know,
that's really interesting.
You know, we look at weight, height. And those three things mainly go through another subcalculation that figures out what they do.
So all of those other things figure out what they're doing.
And weight is really critical because, for example, there's bodybuilders that are kind of...
Ladies don't cheat. You have to say how much you really weigh.
It can be close.
Oh,
and that's a sensitive question with ladies. One, women don't know their pant level, and that's critical too, so we usually have to measure that. But it's something you gauge the situation. You don't want to put a person on the spot. So if it looks like they might be weight sensitive, I guess.
Okay.
I get pretty close.
Yeah.
I've done 50,000 steps in my career, so.
The beauty is, the last time we talked, we didn't have, I mean, David Havens at Maui Nui Havens Experience, that's a change. Did you do the sitting last year when we were talking?
Yes, we did. Jay and I have worked together for a few years now, and what's great for me about working with Jay, it's made me a better teacher, because if I can get a quad in someone's hand that fits them, then I can put them in the right posture, set up, and position for their swing rebuilds from there. The clubs are built for a certain, this is where he's talking about, great teachers can teach, and if you can teach, you've got to have someone in the right posture and setup. And if that club fits, their swing will develop to that.
Yes, exactly. That's the whole thing. I mean, people say, well, I don't, I'll go and get my clubs fit when I know how to play. Well, no, you get bad habits if you're playing with stuff that's not fit for you. I mean, it's really important.
All the kids we had yesterday, he would second my work as to whether or not I built it the right length. Because I want that kid to have the club that's the right size. I understand that I cut it and the staff doesn't have the same flex. But the length of the club makes a difference so they learn the right posture.
The right posture, that's so important, guys. Yeah, we have to be reminded all the time. There's a little device you can put on your back, you know. And it'll go off. It might get to your iPhone. I don't have it yet. Is it really 5 minutes to go? I'm having so much fun. I'm talking with Kevin Cole, head professional, Wildlife Country Club, and he's the vice president of the Aloha Section PJ. Huge presence here at the tournament champions. Tony Open in Hawaii just came from the tournament champions. He's a wonderful 2 weeks of golf in Hawaii. This is it. This is the last weekend where you can actually see these fabulous PGA Tour players performing on the golf course. And I'm telling you, watching them strategize as you're walking along with them, watching how much time they take between who's the quick player, who's the really slow player. You don't see that on television. You don't get a feel for what they're doing, actually. You know, and the games they're playing with each other. You know, and there's Bryson DeChambeau, and he's walking, and the other guys are like, and then everybody's making their own their decisions. They're standing around, somebody's putting while the guy's about to hit it. It's like, wait a second, aren't you supposed to be, like, backing off and giving this guy some space? Not necessarily. So that's some of the stuff that you get to see. It's not, they're not being bad. They're just right on the verge. and it's part of the game. It's part of how the nuances of the game. It's just like basketball. It's just like football. Psyching each other out. It's how sport is played. And this is a sport. Look at how these guys perform. It's been great talking with you, David Haven.
Thank you so much.
I want to stop this day and find out. I'm on Oahu. So where do I go on Oahu to get this?
Yes.
It is 1188 Bishop Street. It's on the 14th floor. We're on the 35th floor. I'm going to come down the elevator. And what is his name again?
Steve Lee.
Okay. Peak Performance Athletics. Excellent. He should be on the show. That would be fun.
It would be a fun one.
Okay, I have to thank the people who make this show possible. Kevin Carl, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, sir.
It's been the first time that I've been able to have you at the table for so long. This is awesome. David Havens, the Havens Experience. Rare for Change, go find him on the course. He's right, Spectator Village. Jay Turner, thank you very much. JeffMott.com, that's where you go.
Thank you, Daniel.
The golf club is made possible by these great people. Hawaii Confinement Center, looking to downsize. Find out what your family treasures, your koa, your art, your fine furnishings, what they're all worth, where you can shop, consign, and design. And the location, 401 Cook Street. It's 589-1750. Aloha Power Equipment, Hawaii's largest power equipment showroom, two locations, in Honolulu and Waipahu. And by the way, the Honda EU2200 generator is $200 off the regular price. That's $1,249 becoming $1,049 with a free extended warranty. That's a $250 value in and of itself. You're getting $450 off. You need to go to Aloha Power Equipment. Oahu Extraction, when it floods, you know, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud. We saw that PDOO. It inundates your home. Call Oahu Extraction. They're in your house in 90 minutes. And that's a lifesaver. It's 330-6212, Oahu Extraction. Creative Plumbing, whether it's a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, a townhouse, a new build, a renovation, a repair, you got to call the people who do it right. And they are Creative Plumbing. And Futurisome. Futurisome's master craftsmen can turn your project, your building, or your warehouse, your showroom, or your project, an artwork out of natural stone, resilient quartzite. You know what? With concrete pavers, they make runways. So if you're looking for a really good runway, Futurisome, only the best. Thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.